Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. In 1994, Florida became the first state in the union to make the teaching of the Holocaust mandatory in schools. It was called the Holocaust Education Bill. The state education commissioner even started a task force to implement the amendment. Now, that was 25 years ago, but just a few weeks ago, William Latson, principal of Spanish River High, was removed from his post because it was learned that he had told a parent that he could not prove that the Holocaust was a historical fact. What happened to that 1994 requirement? How could we have a principal of a school as a potential denier? Well, joining us now is Linda Medvin, director of Florida Atlantic University's Center for Holocaust and Human Rights Education. Linda, much appreciated having you on the program today.
Thank you.
What was your reaction when you heard the story of the Spanish River principal, Mr. Latson, and that made news? What did you think?
Well, I knew this event occurred almost 19 months ago, so it was not a new event. What we heard about was when it hit the newspapers a couple of weeks ago. I happened to be aware of it. We didn't know in my position at the university that the school district, it's their personnel, it's their story. The school district needs to address it as they were doing, as far as I know. What's surprising to me is that we try to educate the teachers, we try to educate the administrators, we try to educate anyone who wants to learn about the Holocaust, but in many cases there were gaps in their own education growing up because the Holocaust was not necessarily at the forefront of what they were learning in their own schools, in their own states, in their own places. They were not necessarily in Florida since 1994.
And so, I mean, you're surprised by that, but how often, and you were a teacher once, I want to get into this.
Yes.
How often did you run into teachers or administrators who held that same belief?
Very rarely. They held the belief. They didn't know about it. It wasn't that they denied it. It wasn't that they thought that it didn't exist. It's that they just didn't have a base knowledge of what was going on. They didn't have the historical background in many cases. You know, you could have a teacher in an elementary school that never took a world history course in college or didn't have that kind of exposure, or a social science teacher, somebody teaching psychology, that didn't have a historical background to understand where it fits in the context of history. So it was not until in the 90s that we were able to find more information, and there were more resources in the community, more books. At one time we had, you know, Anne Frank and Knight to teach with, and there was not much else. And then Schindler's List sort of opened up the door to give us more resources and more materials and more exposure and more people stepping forward, because the survivors in the community are aging out, and they felt that now that they are retired, or now that they moved on, they're ready to talk about what happened to them. And more research came through, more and more through the statute of limitations, and more information was presented that we could use to teach, so that the teachers were aware of it.
And you know, as I mentioned, you were a teacher for many years.
I was.
What did you teach your students about the Holocaust?
I was teaching my students at the Holocaust. I've been in education for 32 years. I spent 27 years in the Broward County Public School System, and I taught middle school. And I taught them about friendship, about being, putting in historical context. We talked about helping people that you don't know, saving people that you don't know. Just because somebody is different than you doesn't mean there's something wrong with them. The lessons of the difference does not equal bad. And we put it into the context of where it fit in history. It doesn't just, when we think about the Holocaust, sometimes in our own vision, we see pictures of concentration camps. So
right.
We pictured, but it doesn't start there. That was the effect. When you do cause and effect, you know, where did it start? And we start, you know, for all intents and purposes, at the end of World War One. If we have the time to start before that, we're good. But we have to put it into context. It doesn't fit unless you know where it is historically.
There's a lot more.
We don't have it.
There's a lot more to the story. How often did you teach Jewish children who may have even had a connection to it.
I taught in a school that was not even Title I. It was before Title I. It was in Chapter I. So I had very, very few Jewish children in my classrooms. And we taught that many of our students identified who were immigrant children. There were many children who were African-American children that identified with the persecution. So it's humanitarian, it's human rights, it's across-the-board information that children that find it relevant to their own lives attach themselves to.
You know, you told me something fascinating when you talk about teachers and how they approach this topic. And you had said to me there are two types of teachers and how they handle it. One is a teacher who is Holocaust passionate, who wants to really dig into the issues and the stories, and the other is Holocaust phobic. Explain the difference for me.
I think that many teachers are afraid of the subject because they don't know enough about it to teach it effectively. They don't have the historical background. They may think the perception is that if you're only a Jewish teacher should be teaching the Holocaust, but it's a history course. It's not, you know, it's history. And sometimes we get them, they're just afraid. They're afraid of the ramifications of what happens if they say something wrong in their classroom. They're afraid of using a book. We've had incidents where, you know, kids hear something that they may or may not agree with, or a parent may or may not agree with, because it's not the what they learned about the Holocaust. And so the kickback in the classroom to these teachers makes them kind of apprehensive. And then we have the Holocaust passionate teachers who get so involved in it and so enmeshed in it that it becomes disproportionate to what they're teaching about in other subjects. I had a teacher at one time who, in her list of spelling words, was using Hitler. And I don't know that that's an appropriate spelling word for a first grade classroom. So that teacher just didn't think that what we suggested she teach was enough. And so she took more upon herself to teach it.
I recall going back, you know, to the 80s when I was growing up, but that the Holocaust is something that was taught usually during in history class when you're just studying World War II. But as you're saying, there is so much more to the story. To get the full context, you have to look beyond just that.
And you know, we're limited in Florida and in many other states that we need to teach to the standards of what this is put forward and what the state legislature and the Commissioner of Education have for our state standards. And the Holocaust is not specifically mentioned in any subject area because we have pushed to make it integrated and interdisciplinary and cross-curricular. There's no reason that an economics teacher can't teach about the Holocaust when they talk about the inflation and the economic conditions in Germany, in the Weimar Republic. There's no reason why a science teacher can't use the genetics of who was actually determined to be Jewish or about the other, some of the other victims in your science classes. I wrote at one time a curriculum for PE of designing an exercise program in a confined space in conjunction with Anne Frank. So there's no limit to it. And it could go anywhere, any teacher, any art teacher, any music teacher. There's lots of things out there, ways of doing it. You can teach about Brundibar, the opera in Theresienstadt. You can teach about many of the artwork that was done about the degenerate art. Even now, if you open up the newspaper or hear a news report, you talk about the restitution of the art world and how these paintings are coming forward.
Right. No, so as you said, there's more than just, it's not just a history class. It could be so much more. I'm talking with Linda Medvin, director of Florida Atlantic University's Center for Holocaust and Human Rights Education. What are schools in the community teaching children about the Holocaust? Share with us on social media at WLRN Sundial. We'd love to hear from you. We did get a post from a listener JR messaged us, I had a librarian my junior and senior years at a South Dade school. Her name was Mrs. Toner. She hosted a Holocaust Remembrance Week where survivors would come in and tell their stories to students. On Friday, these survivors would judge a contest for students. This librarian sparked a love of writing for me with this contest. I want to go back, Linda, to the 1994 amendment, and just I'm going to read part of it. It stated this. Again, the amendment that made Florida the first to require Holocaust teaching in schools. The history of the Holocaust is to be taught in a manner that leads to an investigation of human behavior, an understanding of the ramifications of prejudice, racism, and stereotyping, and an examination of what it means to be a responsible and respectful person for the purposes of encouraging tolerance of diversity in a pluralistic society and for nurturing and protecting democratic values and institutions. Do you believe, Linda, that we're doing that?
I believe that we are doing it. We are trying to do it. You see that in the legislation, there is nothing that's saying you need to teach about Auschwitz or you need to teach about dead babies or you need to teach about starvation. We're trying to make better citizens and use the lessons of the Holocaust to move forward, to have these young people understand that some of the things that they say or some of the things that they do or some of the things that they see are not just happening at that moment, that it can move forward. The Holocaust didn't start with the camps and the deaths. It started with the words. It started with the elections. It started with the dehumanization. It started with the laws, the Nuremberg laws. So all of these things are a progression, and that we need to understand that it's the lessons of the Holocaust that will take us forward, not necessarily.
And real quickly, what do we get wrong about the Holocaust?
Well, it's not just there's a lot of good that came out of the Holocaust. There's good people that did things that saved others. There's a lot of information that's come out of the Holocaust. It's the most documented piece of history ever. The Germans, for everything else, were great documentarians, and we need to use those lessons, the things that we've learned from this time in history. And every day more and more comes forward, just because it's a progression. It's not dead history. We need to use those lessons to move forward so that it's relevant to our students. It's relevant to our teachers, because they're the ones that have to take us into the next century.
And, you know, we hear from folks, sometimes we think about the Holocaust and we think about, you know, the Nazis trying again to eliminate the Jewish people. But we have heard from listeners, one in particular, who emailed us, Yvonne, who said, every time I hear about anything about the Holocaust, it's always stated that 6 million Jews were slaughtered. When is it going to be made clear that not only Jews were annihilated, but 5 million more people of other ethnic backgrounds, religions, such as Jehovah's Witnesses, Catholics, mm-hmm. even Germans, who were considered, quote, imperfect, end quote, due to mental illness or homosexuality or other. When we talk about the Holocaust, are we putting all the focus on, you know, again, the impact of what Nazis were trying to do to the Jews, and we skip all these other groups that were also targeted?
Well, our first information about the Holocaust came from the survivors, and the survivors were usually the Jewish survivors. So they were our first point of information. And as more information has come forward, we do teach about the other victims. We teach about the homosexuals being targeted. We teach about the Jehovah's Witnesses. We teach about the Roma and the Sinti. But, you know, in a classroom setting, with all the other things that have to do, that a teacher has to do and is responsible for, and the accountability and the data that they need to produce, there's a limited amount of time. So it's easier to just focus on one piece. When I was in the classroom, I used to teach about the ghettos, because my students were middle school students, and they knew, they could identify with young people that were in the ghettos that really were the ones that saved the ghettos, because they were the ones that were able to smuggle food in. Now, many of my students had no idea that there was any other kind of ghetto than the one that they were familiar with. They didn't know the origin of the word. They didn't know that it happened to other people. So it's a whole learning experience. And yes, we need to talk about the other victims because there were many other victims. And it all falls into place. And the more we exposure we get, you can pick any topic. We did a whole piece on women as being part of as their being a gender piece. We did a whole piece about immigration, which certainly is just the immigration of anybody getting out of Europe at that time. But we did it with the Holocaust in the Western Hemisphere
Yeah.
of before, during, and after. It certainly hit home in our South Florida community because we have many people here who this is their second destination. Their families first left Europe and went to Cuba or other parts of South America and
Right.
then came here. So what's in each place, what's good for one school is not necessarily
Right.
good for another school. What's good for one community is not necessarily, but we have teachers out there who learn. We have a constituency of teachers. We reach out through our center at FAU.
And you know what, that's interesting because you talk about coming back to the teachers. So that you pointed out that the task force has a website, FL Holocaust Education Task Force.org. We'll put that up on our social media, where there are resources there. And I'm wondering how
Absolutely.
often do you hear from teachers who are going to that website and getting those resources?
We do get information. We do get kickback and feedback from these teachers. We have 10 sites on the task force throughout the state that also provide professional learning to these teachers. We have found that once we get the teachers on some background information and on target, then they go to the lessons. But they need to feel comfortable with going to the lessons, and that's what we do at our center and in other centers around the state.
You know, let me finish with this, Linda, only because of time. Of the
Yes.
challenges that we face today is the fact that with social media, you've got groups online spreading a lot of hate, spreading the denial. How do you
Correct.
challenge that misinformation?
Well, education is our best hope against hatred. That's what we can do. We have to educate these people. We have to show them. We use our Holocaust survivors as a major resource. They can talk about what happened to them. We use photographs. We have a lot of documentation that we're able to use. And you just have to do the best you can and hope that the teachers understand where this is all coming and where
Yeah.
coming from and where it's all going and how important they are in making the difference in their classrooms, within their schools, and with their students.
Yeah. We also heard from Christine on Twitter. She tweeted us, "I went to grade school in Miami-Dade in the 90s, and the Holocaust was definitely part of the curriculum. Most vividly, I remember reading Number of the Stars in Language Arts." We've been talking with Linda Medvin, director of the Florida Atlantic University Center for Holocaust and Human Rights Education, again, talking about what is being taught and what should be taught when it comes to the Holocaust in our schools. Linda, great conversation. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, and thank you for caring about Holocaust education. It's very important.
We'll get you back. There's a lot more to talk about. This is a big,
Okay.
big topic.
You got it. Thank you.
All right. Well, still to come, it is Shark Week. Are sharks in danger because of human activity? Well, we'll find out coming up next.